Right, I'm very loud. Can you turn me down, please, Anthony? You know, it's like when you record your own voice, it sounds horrible, doesn't it? I could hear myself putting me off. Just as we've been gathering and worshipping together this morning, just a thought dropped into my mind that being here today is a privilege, not a requirement. Okay, God doesn't require us to be here. Because we've moved out of that, you've got to do this to get God. But it's a privilege. It's a privilege to be in his presence. It's a privilege to know God working in our lives. It's a privilege to just be part of the Church of Jesus Christ. And we should come here skipping and dancing because it's such a joy to be here. And I'm sure we all have this morning. And God just wants to speak to our hearts. And this is going to take a couple of weeks to go through this. But I want to talk about living in the possibilities of what God wants to give to us. So it's quite a big subject, that. But I want us to understand who God is and what he's trying to do in us. Because it's remarkable what God is trying to do. And so often we kind of don't engage with it because we don't understand that journey. We sang this morning already, I know with you all things are possible. Do you remember singing that? Well, some of you do. And some of you might remember what I'm saying at the end of the service. But we've sang that already. I know with you all things are possible. Wow, that's a huge statement, isn't it? And let's look at why things are possible when God is working with us. Okay, so I'm going to kind of amble into my message now. I don't know whether you've ever been for a job and had to go through an interview process where you're required to evidence your credentials. This is who I am, and this is my skills, and my skills will really benefit you because when I come in and look at what I can do, you have to demonstrate that you have what it takes for the role. And I can remember years ago when I was growing up, my dad was a minister, and his credentials were about his speaking. And he'd go away for a weekend and he'd speak, and then we'd be moving house. Because his credentials, they like what they saw. And so throughout my former years, I travelled around the north of England, because when my dad went somewhere and spoke, and people, oh, I like what he's saying, and we'd be up and gone. And I lived in Glasgow, Ripon, Bollington, Cleethorpes, Stockport, Poynton. I've been all over the place because my dad had this teaching gift that people really engage with. He proved his ability. He had some great credentials. And some of you will know my son Ian, who's a chef. And it's all right calling yourself a chef, but you've got to be able to cook, haven't you? You know what I mean? And sometimes when he goes for a job, he has to prove his credentials. Now he's at a level where he not only cooks food, but he creates a menu. So he will create a menu, he will put a menu together, and then he will cook the menu to prove that he can do it. It's demonstrating who he is. You see, it's part of life that we've got to prove that we can do what we say we can do. It's our credibility that is always on the line. Can you do what you say you can do? Now, I've said I can do a lot of things. And those of you with children will know that every time something goes wrong, they come, Dad, can you fix it? And you go, of course I can. Dad, I've just broken this, can you fix it? Yeah, not a problem. And even now, they still come into me going, Dad, this has happened, can you fix it? And you kind of go, well, I'm a bit wiser now. You go, I'll give it a go. I'm not promising anything, but let's give it a go. And so when you are looking for somebody to help you, you're always trying to find a man who can. You're always trying to find somebody whose credentials are backed up by what he can do. He has a proven record of doing the things that you can't do. Plumbers, electricians, builders, anybody you're looking for. It's not just somebody who's got that title, but you're looking for some evidence of what they can do. Show me what jobs you've done before. show me some pictures. Can I have a word with the people that you worked for before to see that they were satisfied with you? Because it's a big investment sometimes when we're engaging with these people. So we're all the time in our natural life for asking for people to prove that they can do what they say they can do. So looking at our Christian lives and the possibilities of God living with us, we often face events where we can't see the answer. Many of us have got a past that needs dealing with. Some of us don't know what the future brings. Some of us are living in circumstances where we cannot see the answer. It's just beyond our ability to see. This is where we have to understand or have it revealed to us that when we put our faith in God, the impossible is possible. God can do things that we can't simply because he is God and we are not. And thinking about God with all our understanding of all that he is quite a difficult thing to do. God is much bigger than what we can imagine or think. And as we begin to grow in God, God grows in us. Our understanding, our attitudes, our behaviours are all influenced by God living in us and growing in us. So our human thinking limits what God can do. I know I've had circumstances where you go, well, I can't do it. If I can't do it, I'm sure God can't either. That's sometimes how we think, because we put God on the same level as what we are. We limit what he can do because of our understanding. So when we're beginning to look at God's credentials, we need the Holy Spirit to help us here. We need him to reveal the truth of who God is to our heart, so that when we stand before God, we know who he is and we understand what he can do. So I just want to look at some of God's qualifications in our lives. Who is this God who we are worshipping? And I love this. This is the first chapter, the first verse in the Bible, and I love this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And if you follow that through, you'll see that the early chapters of Genesis talk about creation and how God just said things and they came into existence. And it gives us a few clues about who God is, about his power and his authority in our universe. Out of nothing, God created everything. It's amazing when you think about it. That's a massive tick in his CV for God to perform in the miraculous. So when we say it is possible with God, we can see by looking at Genesis that he is a creator God, that he created the universe, and he has proved his record of being able to produce something where we can see nothing. I was listening in the week to a bit of a discussion about God, about creation, and it was an interesting kind of thought that that was being talked about, in that atheist scientists, and all scientists, but atheists in particular, acknowledge that nothing can produce nothing. Okay? If you haven't got anything, you can't produce something. Out of nothing, nothing can be produced. So when we start applying this thinking to creation, however we think creation happened, at some point of time, out of nothing, the universe was created. Which would intimate that God exists outside of the nothingness that we are talking about. See, if nothing existed and there was nothing to birth, the universe wouldn't have been created. But logic points to something that existed, or some being that existed before the creation of the world, something that lived outside of what we understand as time and the physical elements that we live in, and created something. This is the God that we are worshipping that said, let there be. And there was. Something that created something out of nothing. We've been watching some videos this morning. The last one was showing us the creation of God. And it always captivates my heart when I see that, because there is something about God's creation that kind of resonates in my heart. I don't know about yours, but if you want a room with a view, you've got to pay a lot more for it, haven't you? There's something in us that wants to look out on the creativity of God. And whenever I watch programs about the bigness of the universe and the smallness of atoms and electrons and the way the whole thing works together, I'm astonished at the creativity of God. How anybody could just think that just came out of nothing is beyond me. God created the universe. The power he holds in his hands and his voice are shared with each of us. He is our Father, and we have an inheritance that he shares with us. As his children, we have a right to an inheritance, and I'll talk about that a little later. So when we come to our God, he has the power to do anything. We worship a God who can do more than we can imagine or think. And when we begin to think about the things that we want God to do, our imagination sometimes runs out. But God can go beyond that. He can create more than we can imagine or think. It tells us in the Word that we are created in his image. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God created us to share in who God is. As with any parents, any natural parents, our DNA is passed on to our children, and we are created as children with our father's DNA. See, we're different than the animals and all the creatures of the world. We're not of the same stock. I love God's creation, everything about it. The insects, the birds, and animals all reflect the creativity and character of God. All interdependent and created to make the world work. Even the creepy crawlies were created to be interdependent with the world. I don't know. Well, it is. I mean, some people don't like spiders, but they have a job. Without spiders, something wouldn't work. Without flies, there'd be dead bodies everywhere, because flies come and they consume the death that is on the earth, and it's all sold back into the world to recreate. What an awesome creation God has made. All created to make the world. But we were created different. See, we are created in his image to reflect our Father. We have intellect. Did you know you had intellect? Well, you have. See, animals have instinct. They haven't got intellect. We have personality and reasoning ability, a capacity to relate to others. We can love, speak, and create. And when we look at what is in the world, it's all created by mankind. I don't mean God's creation. I mean, when you look at the world now, and you look at buildings, you look at everything that's been created, it's all been created by mankind, because we are created in the image of God to be creative, to be expansive, to be excited about development and moving on into new things. It's an awesome, awesome gift that God has given to us. We know that that can be misused, but let's look at the positives, because we are created with all of his image in us. Adam and Eve were alive spiritually and would have carried God's values into everything they did. They would have done that by nature because their spirit was alive. They were in this relationship with God where they were looking after the world and they had purpose, they had relationship with God. Everything was provided for them. And they experienced this full relationship with God exactly as God had planned. And this is what God wants for each of us. He has a plan for our lives. He wants to get involved with us so that the fullness of who God is can be created in us. Because we are created in God's image, we carry a need to be creative and productive. If we look at the natural world, we see a different attitude to life. If you ever go to the zoo, you'll see that animals, really, their main focus is food. Now, I know there's some of us whose main focus is food. But if you feed an animal, it's quite happy. Oh, all right, I'll sit down and sleep for the next 23 hours, which is apparently what lions do. They eat for an hour, and then they sleep for 23 hours. You wouldn't think that looking at all the nature programs, would you? But they spend most of their time sleeping because they are satisfied with what they have had. They're not worried about tomorrow or thinking about how they're going to find food tomorrow, how they're going to live tomorrow. They just live for the moment. They have no issue with planning their future. Mankind, on the other hand, needs more than this. We are created differently, and God has made plans for us, which is awesome, really. It says in Genesis 2:15, the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and take care of it. So God wants us to do something. He wants us to work. He wants us to take care of the earth. He has a plan for our lives. To instigate that plan, because of the fall, we have salvation. And right at the start of, if we read in Genesis, when Adam and Eve fell, they fell from the grace of God. God's plan was to redeem mankind. And we see this in Genesis 3:14. So the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. So it's a prophetic look at God giving us Jesus Christ, who would ultimately crush the enemy. So right from Genesis, he had a plan to redeem mankind. We were created in God's image with God's plan in our lives so that we would experience the fulfillment and value, add value to our existence. God wants us to be filled to the fullness of life. It says in Ephesians 1, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for the adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. We were chosen before the creation of the world. What a thought that is, that even before the world was created, God knew you. And he created you, and he had plans for you. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God wants more than just salvation for us. He has created in us good works for us to do. He's given us jobs to do. He's given us something because whenever you, I don't know whether you've done a good job and you stand back and you go, wow, that's amazing. Have you ever done that? No. Nope. No. Oh, Sylvia has, but you haven't. You know, God just wants us to be creative. And I know I do stuff at home and you kind of go, oh, that's pretty good, that. I'm pleased with that. Doesn't happen very often now, but you know, we are created to create, to do good works. And when we talk about good works, we're talking about the works that God wants us to do. And he's prepared this for us to do in advance. God knows us individually and intimately. Like any father, God knows how we tick. He does. Sometimes we struggle with each other to know how we tick, but God knows how you work. He knows how you think. He knows what you're going through. He understands all of that. For those of you who are parents, you'll know that the strengths and weaknesses of your own children, you know that they're not the same, that they all behave differently. And you know, in our family, I've got two brothers, Stephen and Paul. Some of you will know them. I'm the normal one, okay? Stephen is a little bit more radical than me. He's different. And our Paul is different yet again. We didn't know what we got when he arrived. Completely turned our family upside down, but there you go. He's different. And my parents understood that. And so they dealt with this differently. And you'll know that one thing works for one child. You try it on another one and it doesn't work. So you've got to find ways of understanding your own children. And God is like that with us. He knows how we work. He knows how we tick. He understands our feelings. He understands the way we think. He understands how we approach life. And he deals with us appropriately. So God deals with us all according to who we are. He knows us intimately. And I'm really grateful for that because, you know, I can be as difficult as anybody, but God understands that. And what's more important is he still loves and cares for me and for you, even when we go on one of our little episodes. Philippians 2, 6 to 7. Who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And then Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. So we see that Jesus, who is God, came to earth and didn't seek any advantage from that. He lived as we live. And that's hard to understand, isn't it? It's hard to get your head around, but Jesus lived as a man, so he understands all the things that we go through. He was made in human likeness. And it says he has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. He understands us. He knows what we're going through. He's experienced it. We're currently putting together a bid for some funding for the church for the next 3 years. And all over the application is the word lived experience. In other words, have you got people who are coming who have an experience of life? They have a lived experience. But what they're doing, they're sharing that with other people. Because when you've been through something, you can support somebody who's going through the same thing. It's about lived experience. And when you've been through the challenges of life and you understand some of the issues that we go through, then you are in a place where you have a lived experience. You go, I've been through that myself. I can help. I can support. I can advise. Because I understand what you're going through. And Jesus understands us. I know sometimes that's hard for us to understand. But he's lived on earth as a man. And he understands what we go through. And Psalm 139. I'm not going to read all of it because it's a long psalm, but it's well worth a read. This is how intimately God knows us. It's what he wants to work with us. So I'm just going to read the first 7 verses. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? God knows everything about us. And so when we come to him, he knows. He knows our thoughts from afar. In other words, he knows what we're going to do before we do it. He understands what's going on in our heart. And we can't escape the presence of God. Where can I go from your spirit? The answer is we can't go anywhere without God going with us, because he lives in our heart. Nothing is hidden from God. Sometimes it's hard to confess the truth, isn't it? And we know when you've got it wrong. And we always go, well, yeah, I did that. It wasn't my fault. They made me do it. Because you did that, I did this. Because you said that, I said this. And we're always trying to find a route out of a situation. It's a natural defense mechanism that we have. It's what sin brought into the world. But with God, nothing is hidden. There is no, it's his fault because he knows. He knows what's going on inside of us. Yet he still loves us and wants us to grow in him. Understanding that God knows all about us is so important. Because very often we feel isolated from God because we think, how can God love me? Because look at who I am. Look at what I've done. Look at what I've just said. Look at the things from my past. Surely that excludes me from God being part of my life. But God knows that. He knows that anyway. But he still loves us. He still wants to care for us. He operates in grace. He doesn't judge. He wants to pour his love into our hearts. He wants to do the impossible things that we think he can't do because we are excluded from his love. But I want you to remind yourself that God knows everything about you anyway. So don't hide anything. Don't hide from God. See, we've been set free from the power of sin and death. That's one of the entitlements of being a son of God. He's taken us from where we were, and he has transformed us and transmitted us into the kingdom of heaven. The past is forgotten. The future is all coming to us. We are new creations in God. He has good things for us to do. He knows everything about us. Yet he still wants to engage with us. Excuse me. So just recapping, I'm just going to close down there. We have a creator God who created everything. Everything. We are created in his image. We have his DNA. He has plans for our lives and did do from before the creation of the world. He has plans for us to do good things. And sometimes we can't imagine ourselves doing good things for God, but he has planted something in us that wants to bring that creativity to pass. He's given us this path of salvation. He knows us individually, and he loves us. He knows everything about us, and he cares for us, and he wants to do things in our lives that we will just be blown away with. We'll catch up with that when I begin next week. So thank you for listening. All things are possible with God. Just remind yourself of that. God does love you. He knows all about you, and he wants to do amazing things in your life. We've got a good God. Thank you.